Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict.
We want comments.
Ira loves comments, but you know what? We much prefer the many more thousands of people who just subscribe and listen. So feel free to do that, and we appreciate it. Everything is presented by Bill Curry Ford, all of Ira's work, and they are a third-generation family dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
What does that mean, that it's a family dealership, Steve?
It means it's family-owned. Most dealerships are corporate-owned, which is totally different. It's like going to that delicious bagel shop that you go to that's family-owned, and you know who's...
They take great care, and that's right.
And they care about everything. Versus going to that corporate bagel store. You never know who's working there.
It's an assembly line. That's right.
And you never know the quality of the cream cheese. It's got preservatives in it, Ira. You hate that.
Yeah.
Bill Curry Ford, they've got right now employee pricing. We've talked about it, but now they've got employee pricing plus up to extra $5,000 off. And they're giving you well over 100% of Kelley Blue Book value on trade-ins. And the pricing is all at BillCurryFord.com.
What if you want a 2024?
They've got... not many left, but they've still got incredible offers on those, you know, way over the top. Go check out BillCurryFord.com. And Sean Sullivan has explained this to us in detail. Ford rolled out this employee pricing program because of expected tariffs that didn't materialize. And so it's still going on, but it's going away. And Bill Curry Ford is throwing more on top of that. I just went to their website, and they've got a $500 off coupon floating on there. And they still have the Ira Kaufman discount. And, of course, they've got the biggest, most impressive service department in the whole
country. How many loaners they got, Steve?
100 loaner vehicles, free. They'll do service at your home. They cover a big radius. Sean Sullivan will talk to you anytime. He'll help you personally. He's the big boss. You can get his email at BillCurryFord.com. And,
you can ask him who the top prospects in the 2026 draft are. He's already working on it.
He's working on it. You know, we got a busy podcast today, Ira. A lot of things to get to. A little more on all kinds of subjects. And, of course...
There's no off-season for us, Steve. There just isn't.
Well, look how feisty you are. Lee, look how Ira is. It's May 15th.
It's got to be the coffee, Steve.
He's ready to go, Ira.
And Ira's gone from... he's telling the whole world he's retired. Now he's picking up national gigs. He's doing all kinds of things.
He's
breaking stories left and right. He's hanging out with coaches.
Retirement is not for Ira.
This is how Ira retires. He'll do the same thing. He's like Brett Favre.
Next year's a big year. It's 10 years with Joe Buck's fan. That's big, Steve.
That is big.
That's big.
Our good friend Rock Riley told me months ago, like December, maybe it was during the football season, like November, and you were talking about retiring and you're giving up Russo, and Rock comes up to me and goes, Ira won't be able to stay away. He's got to be in the mix.
That's why Rock's Rock. It's a good man.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration. Everybody needs to know that name because you got to know who to call when you're at your desperate situation.
Am I still the water whisperer, Steve?
You're right. I forgot to mention that you're right. You are the water damage whisperer. And when you've got water damage, you've got to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. That's really the key. You call right away. You don't wait 3 days and after you finally dried it out and now it's starting to smell. And this, you can't do that. Your home's your biggest asset. Maybe it's at your office, your property that you own. Florida's Elite Restoration, call them 24/7. They'll come out free, absolutely free, with the greatest technology and experienced people. They'll assess everything, see if you have an insurance claim. Either way, they're a one-stop shop. They can restore everything, repair, replace. Check out their website. It's really what we can tell everyone to do. Florida's Elite Restoration. Look at their Google reviews, 5 stars, and the Sage discount is in effect. So when you call, just say, I heard about you guys on Joe Buck's Fan. And if you need them after that free quote and estimate, evaluation, and breakdown, they will give you $500 back to use for your deductible or just cash back on something you're paying cash for. So Sage, let's jump right into what we got going here on this podcast. Buccaneers Ring of Honor. Now, you're a Ring of Honor kind of guy because you're Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, selector. You knew 4 months ago that Simeon Rice is the guy going in this year.
But I protected my source. That's
you
right.
did, and we kept it quiet for you, and it's just what we do. Now the cat's out of the bag. Simeon Rice, 5 years of absolute dominance. What's the timing here all about, Ira? Because, you know, it's never as simple as it seems. A lot of fans might say, well, what took so long?
Well, this is a clear-cut link between the Ring of Honor and the Canton Shrine to Excellence, which is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, from a Glazer perspective. This is not the first time they've done this. I believe they did it with John Lynch in terms of the timing to try to push Lynch across the finish line as a finalist. Now, the difference is Simeon Rice has never been one of the 15 finalists. As a matter of fact, as you pointed out in your story, guys, he's only been a semifinalist, which is 25 candidates, a couple of times. And he has been eligible since 5 years after his retirement, which is like more than 10 years. He's been eligible. He's not getting much traction. I talk to the voters all the time. I mentioned Simeon Rice. Very good. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Very good. Well, Buck fans think differently. I understand that. He was a dominant player, Lee. And I might add, and I don't think I'm going to get any argument from you two, and of course I was at the Super Bowl in San Diego that glorious day when they kicked the Raiders' ass. And Simeon Rice could have easily been the MVP of that game. He could have been. He had a couple of sacks. Yeah. He hounded Rich Gannon the whole freaking game, contributed to those five picks that they had. And because the NFL wanted the votes in, like, you know, midway through the third quarter, Dexter Jackson, you know, was going to get it because he had all those plays in the first half. So I think if they waited till the end of the game, Simeon Rice would have been a strong contender. That's only one game. Simeon Rice played a lot of dynamic games like that. Lee, I can remember a game in New Orleans. Might have been something like 2005. Which was a good year for the Bucs. Chris Sims was the quarterback that year. But they made the playoffs. That was coming off some bad years in 03 and 04. Bad
was that
years.
Losing to Joe Gibbs and the Redskins?
I think it was. And I remember the Bucs were in New Orleans, and I was at the game. And I was walking across the field after the game with Gruden to the team bus. As Gruden was, and he had already talked. But I saw him walking across the field, so I joined him.
You're a pest.
Before I was a pest. And as Light says, you're a lurker. You're a lurker and a pest. Anyway, Simeon made some big strip sack towards the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Right. He was just raving. Really? He was just raving about Simeon Rice. What a gamer. What a difference maker. And then the irony is, Steve, in 2000, I can't remember if it was 7 or 2008, the Bucks reported to a celebration. Mm-hmm. And that's where the training camp was.
In Florida.
Yeah. And then, you know, at 1 o'clock, Gruden spoke and some players spoke. Brooks talked or whatever, and then we were back. We rented a house back then with the Tribune. We had three or four or five guys in the house, and all of a sudden we get a call from the Bucks PR guy. Hey, they need you back here at 6:30 over at the Celebration Hotel. We got some news to announce. That was very unusual. This was reporting day, and we go back there, and Bruce Allen stands up and says, we've released Simeon Rice.
Wow.
And nobody could believe it. I still remember this, Lee. We drove back from that news conference back to the house to start tapping out our stories. And I had a number for Simeon Rice, and I reached him. And he was trashing Gruden up and down. I mean, four-letter words. He didn't even have the nerve to tell me in person. He's got Bruce Allen telling me. It didn't end well between Gruden.
No.
But to be fair to the Bucks, Steve,
he's done.
To be fair, he was done. And we didn't know that. We thought it was just a minor shoulder injury. He's going to be okay. And he was never the same.
For the record, that was 2007. That was his last season. He went on. He played that year for Denver and Indianapolis. Barely played.
Dungy picked him up, right? Dungy,
yeah.
Yeah, Colts. Dungy did.
Had one sack, and that was it. He got here to the Bucs, for fans who don't remember, or young fans out there, got here in 01. 67 and a half sacks in his first 5 years.
And had a good career in Arizona before that,
yes.
Lee.
Simeon Rice made one of the greatest defenses in the history of the NFL complete.
Fair.
He made it complete.
They were very good.
But they weren't elite like they have been remembered by. That's because of Rice. Rice comes in, that wicked edge rush.
And off the Sapp right loved side, it. Right next to Sapp.
Yep. And Sapp loved it because he ate.
he hunted.
Yep.
He hunted. And he took a lot of pressure off Sapp.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the Ring of Honor part of Simeon Rice is that he continued to produce when Sapp and Lynch were gone.
That's
the only reason for me he's in the Ring of Honor.
So, they were gone by 04. They were gone.
Yeah, and so he, in 04, he's got 12 sacks. In 05, he's got 14. And 06, he got hurt. Phenomenal player. And so, Ira, he's made the semifinals of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which means that he wasn't a finalist. He didn't get to be presented for a vote to get in.
By Ira.
I didn't get a chance to do my thing, Lee. I couldn't do my
exactly.
thing.
So he is, we'll just put a round number on it, he is now 17 years out of football. How many years till you...
So that's 12 years of eligibility.
It's 12 years of eligibility. It goes up to what, 19 years of eligibility? And then
maybe 20. Maybe 20.
And then you fall into the seniors pool where you have, like, no chance.
We call it the Abyss, Lee. The Abyss.
Is that the official name, the Abyss?
That's our unofficial name, yes. They're trying to build this case even further. Now, look, Lee's got over 120 sacks. It might be 122. He used to be higher on the list than he is because every year.
Time.
Yeah, over time, you know, he's dropping down a little bit. I think he still might be top 20. But there's guys ahead of him that have never been a finalist either. He's not the only one.
Who was the guy?
Leslie O'Neal. There's a guy named Leslie O'Neal.
There's John Abraham's up there, too.
He's never been a finalist, Leslie O'Neal. So Rice isn't by himself there.
The thing that just strikes me, Taylor with the Dolphins, was he really that much better than Rice?
No.
Yeah, and he got in first ballot.
Jason Taylor.
Yeah. Jason Taylor.
A lot of people were stunned that Taylor got in, especially on the first ballot. That was a year that I thought Lynch was going to get in, but it was also the first year for Brian Dawkins. So those two guys split the votes, and Taylor got just enough to get in. I think even the Dolphin guy that presented him was stunned.
Wow.
He was stunned.
Taylor, looking at it here, 139.5 sacks, is top seven all time. But it was a surprise in that year, and he was never the super legendary dominant guy where you said first ballot. Jason Taylor, obviously Dolphins fans.
I think he scored a bunch of touchdowns.
Would
Taylor,
disagree. Yeah. Nobody's taken away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, the Bucs are going to roll him out for a big news conference. Brian Glazer on Monday will.
I'm shocked Simeon's in town, Lee, because he's always in Paris, you know, or in Italy. The guy's a world traveler. By the way, may I say, Steve, I might be the only guy in North America, I'm serious about this, that has seen both of Simeon Rice's directed movies.
Really?
He's a film director.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's doing it anymore, but I saw both of his movies, and you know what? They weren't bad.
Ira, are you a popcorn guy? Milk Duds? What's your deal?
I'm not a popcorn guy. You know, too much butter on my fingers over there. I can't.
Kernels in your teeth?
You know, maybe nonpareils. What do you call them? The thing with
nonpareils.
I know what you mean, Ira.
Yeah, little things with the speckles on it or something. And I'm not knocking the Glazers for doing this. I think it's to their credit that they're trying.
Noble.
But a lot of Buck fans say, where's James Wilder? So they're not everybody's happy with this.
James Wilder, leading rusher in team history, and he holds the record. I don't remember the exact number. Todd Wright sent it to us. I think it's 465, something like that. Most touches in NFL history in one season.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Who's ever going to touch that? Saquon Barkley didn't even come close last year.
Might have been 1984, I think.
Yes, it may stand forever. You know, a lot of Bucs fans want him in, rightfully so.
I understand the Wilder sentiment, and I'm one of those people. Why don't you put this guy in? But who can argue with Simeon Rice?
Yeah.
I don't know any Bucs fan that could argue with Simeon Rice.
Hey, I'm just glad that they're back putting people in the Ring of Honor, because I thought it was silly going a couple years without it. I thought that was a mistake.
Yeah, what are they waiting for?
Yeah, that reinforces the thing about Wilder. What are you doing? It's almost getting to the point, it's like Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Are you going to put the guy in before he dies?
It's not like they lack total candy. You know, Brady's going to have his day.
Yeah.
I would have to guess they already asked him, and he wouldn't do it.
Warrick Dunn's going to have his day.
I don't know about that, Ira. I don't know.
He was a good Buccaneer. He was a real good Buccaneer.
A lot of good Buccaneers out there.
He did play for the Falcons.
He wasn't a better Buccaneer than Hardy's Nickerson.
No, I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say it, Ira. It's just all part of the argument of when you get outside the guys that are really the superstar slam dunk Ring of Honor dudes. There's 15 in the Ring of Honor for fans who don't realize. John Gruden, that includes him, because he's back officially now. He was in, he was out. But I swear, Ira, I know it sounds silly, but do you think, and we can hit this another time, but I swear, I think the length of your last name has an effect on the Glazers' thought process here, because they've basically completely run out of room on the one side of the stadium. We don't know yet if Simeon Rice, four letters, is going to be on the other side of the stadium. Right now, it's just one facade. And maybe they stick Gruden alone on the other side. I don't know. I think maybe they won't want to call attention to that. But, you know, if your name's Nickerson or Deckerhoff, you know, it's something to think about.
Ira, I was going to ask you this about Warrick Dunn. Does the fact that he's a minority owner of the Falcons throw a curveball into things?
I hope it doesn't.
Well, Jiminy Christmas, as John Gruden would say, Tom Brady owns the Raiders. So you just said he's going in.
Well, that's Tom Brady.
Brady's got to have his day. Maybe Brady doesn't want it.
I have to assume he already turned it down. temporarily. Why would they not ask him to do it?
The Bucks should have retired his jersey week one after he retired.
You talk about somebody who turned around a culture.
Literally. Right? And also have been like a thumb up the nose to their Patriots.
I agree with Lee, except if Brady was unwilling to show up for a ceremony, you look real bad. I don't know if he did.
You really think he's going to show up for a ceremony? I don't believe he will. I know he did to the Patriots, but I don't think he will with the Bucks. Too busy with the Raiders, he'll do some kind of thing on the jumbotron.
That's what I said. I said
if he's not showing, then he's not going.
Right, that's what I meant. If he doesn't show up, the whole thing would fall apart.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what happened.
I'm happy for Simeon. It's another building block, you know, and he's got a lot of things on his side in terms of credentials. He was a force to be reckoned with. You know, and I think Chris Braswell's going to, you know, he's going to show a little Simeon coming off that edge.
All right, Ira, now that you mentioned Chris Braswell.
No, don't drop your microphone over there.
In the same breath as Simeon Rice, we need to take a break.
A little humor goes a long way, Steve.
Ali's got a Simeon Rice story. He didn't get to squeeze in there, so what do you got?
Very quick.
That's a good one.
Very quick. You were talking about Rice was unloading about Gruden when you interviewed him. A year later, he didn't simmer down.
Yep.
So the Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl was in Tampa. I was in the media room one day at the Super Bowl, and Rice did a sit-down with NFL Radio, and I guess he led into Gruden, does his radio show, leaves Radio Row, comes through the media workroom, almost running through it, and while he's walking through the media workroom, he screams, "John Gruden is a scumbag!" And for the people who just tuned in to hear that was Simeon Rice, not me.
Whoa.
Classic Simeon. And you know what? When he is in the Ring of Honor, I'm sure it'll be a heck of a speech. He, as Bucks fans watch the NFL draft, he presented round two, round three picks. A lot of fun. He's an animated guy. And you know what? Most great edge rushers are a little nuts. And he is a great edge rusher. And he's definitely a little nuts.
He's a man of the world. He's cosmopolitan. Word. One more Rice story. Quick. All right. The Bucks play San Francisco. True story. Roy and I fly out there. We get to the game. It's a 1 o'clock local game, 4 o'clock Tampa time, at Candlestick. And, you know, we get there at 11 in the morning. We get off the elevator. We're walking into the, into the press box. Before I can put my work bag down, the PR guy, a guy by the name of Aaron Salkin, who I think is now with the Patriots, good guy, he was with the 49ers. He looks at me and Roy. He goes, I guess you're playing without number 97 today, fellas. I look at Roy. Roy looks at me. What are you talking about? He goes, they sent him home. The Bucks sent Simeon Rice home. Well, I get down on the field immediately. I'm looking for Bruce Allen. I'm looking for a Glazer. Finally, I get the word. He missed the Saturday night meeting. Not the first time he's missed it. They had enough. They sent him home. They didn't even put him on the team plane after the game. They sent him on his own plane. Commercial. Well, anyway, this is classic Simeon Rice. Wednesday starts the new work week. I think the Bucks lost the game. And now it's Wednesday. Well, I'm right in front of Simeon's locker. I got to get Rice. What the hell happened? I go, Sim, any regrets? Missing the meeting, getting sent home by the Bucks? He goes, are you crazy? I got a first-class seat. I got wine at my thing. I'm eating chicken cordon bleu. It was a beautiful, beautiful flight back to Tampa. No regrets from Simeon. None. That's Simeon Rice.
Ira, you know, those clashes with Gruden and Rice, well-documented.
Free spirit, Steve.
A lot of fun to remember, but John Gruden, essentially, we'll call it reinstated by the Bucks into the Ring of Honor, and they're not going to have a ceremony. They announced this months ago, and when fans come back to games this year, his name will reappear up in the Ring of Honor.
He'll be on the facade.
Exactly. He'll be back.
The story I had about Rice in the media room saying that about Gruden, if memory serves, that was like less than a week after Chucky was fired.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course,
that's a great point.
Look, Lee, we all know Gruden got suspended by the NFL, fired by the Raiders, and
still got litigation going.
Pushed out by Goodell, still has litigation pending in Nevada Supreme Court, and the Bucks re-embraced him. He had those emails that were leaked, shady leaking, 600,000 emails. The only thing that comes out is like 20 from John Gruden, and he ripped one of the Glazers.
And when the first batch didn't get him fired, they released the second batch.
Yeah, and the New York Times was involved. It's just insane.
Hit piece.
Anyway, so Bucks make a kiss and make up with Gruden, but that's one thing. But for the schedule release of the Buccaneers, and the whole league enjoyed the schedule release on Wednesday, the Bucks produced a 10.5-minute video with John Gruden at his home, and Gruden, you know, brings out this box, and inside the box are all these symbols of each Bucks game. And
you mean like artifacts representing each game or something?
Symbols of the game. Facing Miami, take this game, that game.
Buffalo.
Kinds of different things. My point is Gruden does this video. It's really entertaining. 10.5 minutes. The Bucks put it on their official pages and all their social media. He goes from being banished, and now he's basically working for the team, face of the franchise, on one of the biggest nights of the year. What do you guys make of this?
I'm waiting for Gruden to be a regular in one Buck place. I think that's the next step.
Working for Bulls?
I don't know. Bring him out there for training camp. Let him help Grizzard a little bit in preparation. I mean, the guy is a good offensive mind. I got to give him that. I don't want to make him my draft picks, but he's a good offensive mind. It looks like they're fully back with John Gruden. This happened quick. Once the decision made to put him in the Ring of Honor, it's full speed ahead with Gruden now. And he's a big Bucks fan. Loves the Bucks. Did he forget he got fired? Did he forget?
Well, that's just it. They're paying him attention, so he likes the attention. Two things, what Steve's talking about. It is ironic that all of a sudden they're embracing Gruden when a year ago he was still persona non grata.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you could tell it was the same guys who did the video or produced it as Barstool, who Gruden works for now. Barstool is persona non grata with the NFL. They're the black sheep.
Now, they're embedded with Gruden. Yeah.
He
works for them, yeah.
So now the Bucks not only brought Gruden back, they're getting in bed with Barstool. That's really, to me, the big shocker. It's shocking enough with Chucky, but Barstool, that's like vile to the NFL.
It was a very entertaining video, right, Lee? It was entertaining.
It was entertaining, but you know what? He does those videos like 2-3 times a week, so it's almost boring to me, but it was fun, yeah.
But he gets his juices going when it's Buck related.
It was very well done, you know, to... For all that time to hold captivate interest, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Slapping the Saints around.
You didn't know what was going to happen. You know. But Ira, you took it where I wanted to take it. Is how long is it going to take at this point where we are with the Gruden relationship, where he shows up at one Buck and sits down with Josh Grizzard or sits in some meetings? And yes, they got Tom Moore, obviously, who knows more football than John Gruden, and they've got a senior old school advisor there, and Moore's 86 and he hasn't lost it mentally. So it's not like they need him, but why wouldn't Todd Bowles want him in there to listen in? John, you want to scout my defense, poke some holes in it? When is that coming?
Why should Gruden have to get a Southwest flight to New Orleans, Lee, when he can go out and drive over to one Buck from Avila? You know.
Is that coming?
I think it could be coming. Could we see him in training camp, Lee?
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Now, would you want him?
He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I love Chucky, but we all have a time and a place. One of the reasons, not the reason, but one of the reasons he's no longer with the Raiders, players said that it passed him by, the game had passed him by. Sort of like when Gibbs came back for his second time, players were saying, well, the game had passed him by. And if you watch those videos closely, he's always harping on modern football, specifically RPOs and stuff like that. He hates it. Well, that's what football is right now. So I don't know if that'd be
a
good fit.
He's a little old school, right, Lee? A little old school.
Yeah, and I like old school, but I'm not a big RPO guy either. But you know what? Just because you don't like it doesn't mean you better learn.
You know who's got to give his blessing, Steve? And I think the Glazers have already given
it. It's all Bowles. It's all Bowles.
It's all Bowles. I don't know. My inclination is Bowles has a pretty good relationship with Gruden.
Well, there is a picture out there that, you know, Bowles' son plays for Michigan, and when Michigan football, that is. Him and Gruden were at a Michigan practice. Arms around each other, big smiles, you know.
This is some reconciliation.
Yeah, it's just really unique.
It's really unique.
And it's good. I like it.
How far it's come in such a short amount of time, it makes you wonder where it's going next.
The guy took a pot shot at the Bucks co-owner.
That's why, Ira, I have to give significant credit to the Glazer family. They very easily could have dug in their heels. No, we're not having anything to do with this crude SOB. Instead, they, you know, okay, time has passed. He's part of our history. Exactly. So I give the Glazer family all the credit in the world for being the adults in the room.
Our adults in the room. Now, you're one of them.
Do we have any adults in this room?
We got you. Lee and I are working on it. We're trying to mature a little bit.
I barely qualify.
I know that you have been long obsessed with the Bucks' lack of interest in a backup quarterback.
And now I have company
in
that regard.
Now you've got some more company. Where you've got the guys on Sirius NFL Radio, the big show there, Pat Kerwin.
Moving the chains.
Who used to work for the Bucks, Jim Miller, former Bucks quarterback with Gruden for a year as a backup. They follow the Bucks. Todd Bowles is on their show every week.
They got no axe to grind.
They're not disconnected. They love Todd Bowles. They're always at training camp every year. So bottom line is, they torched Kyle Trask for a long.
They analyze each team's quarterback situation.
What do you make of that? Before I let Ira go wild.
And they love Mayfield, right, Lee?
Oh, they love Mayfield. They love Mayfield. One thing I thought was funny, Kerr wanted to give Trask a zero grade, but he felt sorry for him. Like, oh, he's stuck around. I'll give him a one grade. Man, where they were harsh. And I like the joke. I told Steve this. Imagine you're in Montana. You're paying $12 a month to listen to NFL radio, and they're spending 10 minutes on a guy that's got, what, 11 attempts?
11 attempts. Yeah. They did mention five or six quarterbacks that are still out there or were out there, and the Bucs passed on them.
They mentioned a lot more than that. They mentioned about a dozen. But their contention is the Bucs have a hell of a team. And to quote Kerwin, this is a house of cards if Mayfield goes down. He goes, you're going to throw it all away on a guy who has no experience?
They're putting all the chips on Mayfield. All the chips.
And you hate
that. I think they got a point.
And you hate that.
Miller brought up something I never thought of before, and I double-checked. The stat is correct. He said, with that offensive line the Bucs have, Mayfield got sacked 40 times?
Yeah, Miller thought that was very high.
Yes, he did. He basically said that should set off alarm bells to Jason Light that you really should have a guy.
He's taking shots,
and you better get a guy higher than Trask in there to back up Mayfield.
Here's what I want to say, and I'm already getting slapped down because people, they know that I've been talking about this a lot, and now Kerwin's talking about it. But anyway.
You've been validated, Ira.
Well, not to some fans, because they say, if your quarterback gets hurt, your season's over. Everybody, this is NFL 101. I have the counter-argument. What if the guy's out for 5 weeks? Are you ready to collapse your season because of that?
Find someone who can bridge that five games, man.
Sorry, Steve. If the guy's out for 5 weeks, I want a good backup in there.
And maybe Trask can do it. They've been watching him for 4 years.
You just said maybe. That's a hell of a word.
Yeah.
Lee don't like that word. He don't like maybe.
Nor hope.
And I don't like it either.
All right.
Sounded like the lazy thing to do was bring Trask back. Lazy.
No, you're wrong.
I won't go lazy.
You're dead wrong. The right thing to do is to bring Trask back. He knows the offense. He knows Mayfield. They trust him, whatever they like him. You should have brought in the big or the experienced veteran to compete with Trask.
Yeah, okay.
That's the issue, which they didn't do. They got a guy who's got no experience as of number three.
Right? That's a fair point. Let Trask earn that job, right, Lee? Let him earn it.
Yeah. In theory, you guys aren't wrong, or Ira specifically. You're not wrong. But there is that salary cap, and up to me. What am I going to do? Would I rather spend money on a guy you pray never takes the field or use that money to maybe go out and get Trey Hendrickson, who will make a difference?
But it is the quarterback position.
I totally understand. And at five games, you got Trey Hendrickson and Haason Reddick. You might be able to bridge that gap with a strong defense.
I'm not knocking Trey Hendrickson. You say go get him, I'm all with you.
Yeah, that's my priority.
Steve, what about getting Trey Hendrickson?
I don't know. Look, I'm one of these guys who has accident insurance. If I bang my knee here on this table, I got extra
You're
coverage.
You're suing somebody.
You know, the Bucs need accident insurance. I'm an insurance guy, so I'm all for loading up at quarterback and seeing how it shakes out.
Steve, weigh in on Hendrickson.
He's an absolute star. He's been a star for the past 5 years. It'll make Lee smile that he didn't do much his first 3 years and then exploded, you know, because it takes time for edge rushers. But the guy's the best in the game, led the league in sacks last year. I just don't see any scenario where the Bengals let him go. I just think they're going to dig in. And so I it's not even on my radar. I'm not sure it's in Jason Light's plan either. I don't know if Haason Reddick gets pissed off. And then you got two edge rushers who are dying for a contract because that's what Hendrickson wants. I just don't see it. And
by the way, I've got a pecan croissant that I'm bringing home, unlike the other night when they were bereft. They were absolutely bereft of goodies.
I know.
Tonight I got a pecan log. Can you imagine how many pounds that's going to put on me?
You've been traveling with your snacks, Sage. Bottom line, Ira, we were talking earlier about backup quarterbacks. You put your foot down, and you believe the Bucs have made a mistake here.
I think you made a great point, Steve. Bring in competition for Trask. Legitimate.
Now it's too late. Well, you know what? Honestly,
no, it's not.
It's not too late. We still got training camp up ahead, and I thought it was funny that in that conversation on national radio, they brought in Jameis Winston that the Bucs. I don't know if Jameis would fit, but honestly, it's a question I have for Jason Light. Let's just say, argument's sake, and I hate to even mention this, after all the talk about the schedule, and you calling this maybe an 11 or 12 win team, if, God forbid, Baker Mayfield had a season-ending injury, messed up his neck in week 6, he's going to be out 5 months, would the Bucs trade for a guy like Jameis and bring him in? He knows a couple of the receivers. He knows the situation. He's got a lot of experience.
I hate to say this.
Or do you think he's done?
I hate to mention this name. Could they be interested at that point? At that point.
At that point,
Kirk Cousins? Could they?
Well,
he's another year removed from that injury, Cousins. That helps.
You're right. He's got a lot of experience, that's for sure.
Let's hope we don't want to face that.
Now, Kerman talked about some guy who's I always thought he was a runaround quarterback.
Bridgewater?
No, Bridgewater. No, I don't think he's ever a runaround quarterback. No, Dorian Thompson, great.
Dorian
Thompson Robinson. Yeah,
yeah. He could be squeezed out. Yeah, because
he's number three currently with the Steelers.
Yeah.
If Rodgers signs, he's number four. Yeah. He'll be on the chopping block. And
he don't excite me, Lee.
Excite me either. But what Kerwin's issue was. Experience. That's to sum it up. If Trask had a half dozen games under his belt,
that's right.
Starts, he'd be singing a different tune.
A big reason Trask doesn't have any experience, the Bucs have been very lucky under center.
Now that
very, very fortunate.
You bring up an excellent point. Steve was talking about, they trust Trask. Really? The reason why I say that is, when Baker Mayfield first got here, 2023, he was banged up. That last game of the season, Bucs needed a win. They shut the offense down. The offense was prehistoric. It was Chicago Bears 85 offense.
And they darn near lost the game.
And they darn near lost the game, and Mayfield shouldn't have been out there. He was hurt. There's no doubt about it. If they trusted Trask, you would think he'd been out there. He was not. And they squeaked by, thank goodness. But there was no doubt about it. Mayfield was hurt. He really shouldn't have been on the field.
Ira, the Bucs defensive coaches were out in force earlier this week. We talked a little bit on your podcast, available on iHeartRadio, the Ira Kaufman podcast, about some of that. But there was a lot more going on there. What do you think of the strong, strong, strong defense of Antoine Winfield Jr., where, safeties coach Nick Rapone comes out and says 100% injuries messed up his season. And if he's healthy, we got our guy back. And it's just that simple. I don't see it that way. Just from scrutinizing the games, there were some instinctive plays that Winfield, like his decision making was off. Now, maybe his physical messed that up and he didn't trust himself. But, man, I don't know. They're basically saying this guy's going to go back to being arguably a top three defensive player in the entire game. And now it's not Winfield's fault that he sets such a high bar, but what do you think the truth lies
I'm
here?
I'm with Buck coaches on this, Lee.
Mm.
I'm with Buck coaches. The injuries, and there were more than one, I think it affected Winfield's approach to the game and his decision-making even within games. I think there were times when he was worried that he was going to re-injure his foot, and that could affect going up for a ball or something. Now, Lee, at the same time, and I think this is fair, am I going to hold him to the standards of 2023? I mean, that's high cotton.
Yeah.
That's like telling Shaq Barrett you got to get 19 and a half sacks the year after he did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to see that too often in the National Football League. So I don't have any worries about Winfield. I think he's the stud of the defensive backfield, and I wouldn't be surprised if he plays at an all-pro level. It wouldn't shock me.
I sure hope so, because I like everything about the guy, but he fell off so bad last year.
You worried about the contract?
No. I mean, I could see how people would bring that up, because he fell off so badly. I could see where someone would say, I guess he got paid, he gave up. You can make an argument. I can make an argument. If he was that hurt, he shouldn't have been on the field. You know, I've spoken with the guy so many times, and he always came across as a solid guy, a good dude, a great teammate, someone that will give you 110%. I really don't want to think that he got paid and he's like, I'm good.
I'm with you.
I just don't think he's that kind of guy.
You think the injuries were a little more
severe
than we were led to believe?
Look, this comes back to Nick Rapone. All this stuff is stuff we've talked about before, but now we got a safeties coach saying, yeah, it was injuries 100%.
He was almost like daring people to bring up something else with Winfield.
It was very strong, and we'll see what it really means. I don't know. Just wanted to get your take. Now, Charlie Strong was out there, longtime college coach, USF coach. I'm not a disgruntled USF football fan or anything like that. But Charlie Strong, every time I sort of look at that hire to replace Casey Rogers, Charlie Strong was D-line coach. Not a lot of experience coaching defensive line. Not a lot of experience in the NFL 1 year with Urban Meyer. And
yikes.
I asked Charlie Strong, tell us how your hiring went down. And he's like, I'm permanently here in Tampa. When the opening came up, I called Todd Bowles and asked him if I could, I'm interested. And here he is. Now, I just find it hard to believe that Charlie Strong is the greatest possible defensive line coach who could have been hired for this team. I don't believe that.
Desperate for a pass rush.
For a team, I mean, look, Casey Rogers was not coaching the edge rushers. He did a good job with the guys he had. But the idea is to hire the very best coach possible. And the Bucs, you would think, could have recruited a great, great, great coach. And they had time, and maybe that is Charlie Strong. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
I would add him to the question marks with Josh Grizzard. I think he's right there. Now, Grizzard, I think, is more consequential.
Sure, absolutely. I hope so.
But I think Strong's a question mark, Lee, at this point.
It's a low-key question mark. What I mean by that is a lot of people didn't give Casey Rogers credit. He was a hell of a run defender coach. Hell of a run defender coach. And you can argue, yeah, he was okay. His tackles got to the quarterback. But I'll never forget last year at a press conference, man, we don't care about an edge rush. What? You ought to. And so
now he did a good job of developing Kancey. Kancey's coming along very nicely.
And Logan Hall. You know, a lot of people bag on Logan Hall. Logan Hall had his best year last year. He's done something to Logan Hall. I think that is an underrated chess piece that left. I really do. Now, to Steve's point, is Charlie Strong the best you could do? You could say the very same thing about Josh Grizzard. You're telling me there isn't an experienced NFL offensive coordinator out there that would love to get his hands on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
That I would challenge a little bit, because the Bucs had it in their mind that we want a guy that our quarterback will embrace. So Grizzard,
Mayfield endorsed him.
It was a short list, and he was involved, had a good role in a superb offense last year, and everybody says he's ready. He might have been the best for the Bucs, not best overall, but might have been best for the Bucs.
That's fair.
And at least they interviewed other guys, so I'll give them that. Did they interview anybody else for Charlie Strong's job? I don't know. When you look at how diverse
that... It almost felt like he strong-armed his way to into one Buck place, Lee.
He said he had been out to practices, you know, as a guest, and he knows he's...
I've seen him out there before.
He's obviously very likable, and Larry Foote, the outside linebackers coach, called him the mayor, and he knows all these college guys from recruiting trips, and very gregarious, fun guy.
I wonder if Arians endorsed him. I wonder.
Could have.
Yeah, could have.
He's closer to Arians' age, for sure. Probably in between Arians and Bowles, but I don't know. When you look at how diverse that Bucs defensive line is, you got a rookie in Roberts that they got to develop. You've got Vea, who's a unique player in the NFL.
He's dropped some weight, Vea. I saw him the other day.
I wanted to ask you about that. You got Kancey, who is a unique-ish player in the NFL, and Logan Hall is a guy they're trying to, you know, take to the next level. And I don't know. It's not the easiest job in the world, especially the way Todd Bowles runs his schemes and games.
Yes,
and stuff.
It's a little complex.
For me, Charlie Strong, and it doesn't matter a hill of beans, but to me, he won the press conference. Because I hear all, you know, like I said, Casey Rogers, we don't care where a sack comes from. And that really bothered me. It still bothers me.
Did you break your hip when you fell off the chair when he said that, Lee?
No, I had to clean up the vomit. And Steve joked with me after the press conference about this question. I asked, I don't know if you heard it, Ira. I asked Charlie Strong, are sacks important to you? He preached the gospel of sacks. That won me over.
Lee, I have a very simple way to look at it, and you've heard it before, and you agreed with me. In theory, sacks should be a drive killer.
They are.
Second and 18, you should be punting on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Stats back you up, Ira. They do.
Sacks should lead to a punt.
Yeah, they are.
That's right.
Two things stuck out to me from all those defensive coaches talking, Ira, all of them parading out. One is...
Even The Rock,
Kevin Ross. The way Larry Foote talked about Hassan Reddick, a guy who he knew as a rookie, Foote coached in Arizona, and Reddick came in and they were playing him out of position, and his relationship that he's maintained with Reddick, and obviously everything the Bucs expect from Reddick, and Foote talking about how this guy can be coached hard and this and that and what we're doing. Man, they need Reddick more than I want them to need Reddick.
That's well said, Lee. Steve, well said.
And the other thing is, you know, hearing these coaches and looking at the state of the league, I think Todd Bowles and these coaches need to dial in a little bit better on how do we play defense on fourth down, because a lot of teams are going for it on fourth down.
You know, that leads me into a discussion on Trey Hendrickson, Lee. It does, because in the words of Steve Isbitz, they got a lot of chips behind Hassan Reddick, and they sure do, Lee. Braswell is a guy we don't know what the hell to expect from. Chris
I'm not
Braswell.
Expecting much. I'm sorry. I'm just.
You know, Diaby played pretty well last year, but not as well as his rookie year.
Correct.
Not as well. If you got Hendrickson, now it's going to cost you.
Yes.
Money and resources.
Mm-hmm.
But arguably the best sacker in the league. You got him coming off the right. You got Reddick coming off the left, and Diaby spelling him. And then Braswell doesn't have a lot of pressure on him. I don't know. I don't think the Bucks should dismiss Hendrickson out of hand if the Bengals are going to make him available.
Ira, what did you make of Larry Foote when I asked him about Braswell? And he said he needs to learn the speed of the NFL.
I didn't like that answer at all.
Because he's been in the league for a year. He still doesn't know that? That kind of spooked me. And that begs the question, Ira. Is David Walker going to be higher up the depth chart than Braswell?
He very well could be. I talked to Bowles the other night at the Arians Foundation. Mm. He loves everything about this Walker kid.
Uh-oh, off the record chatter.
No, I called him dynamic.
Were you eating shrimp?
No, I couldn't get any food. I couldn't get into the restaurant.
$1,000 a plate, Ira.
I got other people walking in off the street. They're going right into the front with the maitre d'. And I'm looking through the window like a kid looking at a guitar shop, looking at the Gibson 335 over there for $1,400. And I got $3 in my pocket. Light sees me and says, "You're lurking again, Ira? You're lurking?" I can't take that from Jason Light. Come on, Steve. Help me.
I think the answer to Lee's question, Ira, is that they're going to let the best man win. You know, they're desperate for that edge rush. This season said we're desperate for it. The Bucks saying that. So if you're desperate for the edge rush, you better be putting the best guy on the field, even if that's the rookie.
You got a hell of an offense, Lee.
Yes.
I don't see any reason why the out. Now, Grizzard is the asterisk.
Yes.
But other than that, and injuries, Lee, they're stacked. They're stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And now they added the first-round pick. That don't hurt. And Godwin could be back. That don't hurt. And the running backs are coming back intact. Mayfield's in his prime. One of the better offensive lines in the league. You got a great field goal kicker. Lee, this is a hell of an offense. So to Steve's point, do your job, defense. Do your job. You don't have to be top five, but you got to be better than last year.
I agree. Greg Cosell, real quick, about Egbuka. It was on Ross Tucker's podcast. And it's still out there with the national media. Why did the Bucks draft a receiver?
Because they thought he was the best player. That's
well,
why.
This is what Greg Cosell said. He suspects this. He quickly said, "I wasn't in the draft room." But this is what he said. I want your feedback on it. Greg Cosell said, "It sure looks like the Bucks had Egbuka rated in the top 10. They get the 19. And like, wait a minute. One of our top 10 is still there? We got to be true to our board."
I think that's a part of it. And, Steve, this is just conjecture, but I'm not sure you're going to disagree with me. It's also a little bit of a hedge against Godwin's recovery. You got to factor that in.
Look, Ira, it's a hedge against something, but whether anybody is going to be honest about the board and what that really means is hard to say. Now, Jason Light, he did a podcast with Bo Allen.
The Bo Allen.
Early this week. Bo Allen played for the Bucks.
He still live around here?
Lives in Tampa.
Played for the Eagles, right?
Played for the Eagles. Super Bowl. Remember, Jason Light went on his, "Let's get champions, bring him into our locker room." So he got Bo Allen. He got Clinton McDonald. A couple of great guys, but didn't exactly win ball games.
Right.
Anyway, he interviewed Light, and Light admitted that, you know what? When you go back to the 2017 draft, you know, they were just talking about drafts in general. But when you go back to the 2017 draft, we wanted to draft a different receiver than Chris Godwin. But the Broncos took him a couple spaces earlier, and that guy didn't pan out. And we took Godwin with it next. And
that's Buck Fortune.
Away we go. Now, that's Buck Fortune. It's very interesting, though, because Jason Light, and I was told this, we were told this together, the three of us sitting at the Combine. We were talking to Mike Greenberg in 2024.
Spytek.
We were talking to Spytek. They went out of their way to go over the top saying, "Chris Godwin, that's Jason Light's guy. That's his guy. That's his baby. He was the guy pounding the table." I wrote a story about that, quoting Spytek. So now Light is saying, well, you know, we wanted a different guy. Now, a lot of fans took that as, oh, Light's an idiot. You know, oh, he got lucky. This guy's he just gets too lucky. Well, what I got to tell fans is, number one, recognize that Godwin was a third-round pick. Of course the Bucks liked other receivers better than Chris Godwin. But it was Jason Light who liked Godwin from the start, and he had Godwin higher on their board than other people on the staff. So they took Godwin where they wanted to.
So it's still a Jason Light
pick. But it's still a Jason Light pick because the other, you know, sort of the other scouts were like, ah, more of a later pick, a fourth round pick, something like that.
What am I missing here? He's a Jason Light guy. Light had him rated real high, yet they wanted the guy that Denver got. What am I missing?
Basically, what you're missing is
ranked him on the board.
He's a late third round pick. So obviously, they liked a lot of receivers more than Godwin. And they,
including the guy they were going to go after two picks ahead.
Correct.
What you're saying is he was actually ranked ahead of Godwin on their board.
He was higher than Godwin on their board. They didn't get to take him, so they took Godwin. But it was Light who had Godwin there. So hypothetically.
Hypothetically, Godwin was number six on their board, and this other guy was number five.
Right. But he was six for Light, and hypothetically, Light was overruling Spy Tech and scouts who said Godwin's number eight.
Who was the guy Denver took?
The name was Carlos Henderson, Ira.
Who? that tells you all you need to know,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's why I didn't spit it out there. Two picks earlier by the Broncos, they draft him. He never plays.
It tells you how many catches. How many catches?
Zero. He didn't play.
Really?
Yeah.
Zero in the National Football League?
Yeah. Zero in the National Football League. Carlos
Henderson.
That's
a riff.
Yeah. Out of Louisiana Tech.
Wow.
So what do you make of Light being that candid? He knew exactly what he was saying by saying, hey, one of our franchise top players, the guy that I've sort of gotten credit for drafting a lot, one of my best third-round picks ever, I didn't want to take him.
You don't hear that from a lot of general managers, Lee. You don't hear that kind of admission. That candor, yeah.
Was Spy Tech with the Broncos then or Bucks?
With the Bucks.
Okay. He lucked out.
And having said that...
Does that tell you Light's so comfortable in his job that he doesn't care anymore?
That's called Super Bowl ring.
I think that's part of it. And Lee, I'm not sure that Ibuka was rated higher on the Buck board than the receiver that Carolina went out and took.
Oh, the guy from Arizona.
Yeah. The Bucks might have had that guy rated above Ibuka, which, no big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. They still had him in the top 10, and like Steve said, they're sitting at 19 and he's still there. We're going to take that guy. We're going to take that guy.
All right, so
and I can't argue against that. I can't.
No. Ira, you ready to play a little game?
Uh-oh.
You got a game?
I got a game just for you.
Is there a Parcheesi board out here or something? Mahjong?
Parcheesi? What is this? What is this, 1975?
My mother used to play Mahjong with the women on the stoop over there.
I never heard this.
On 43rd Street.
Not Brooklyn. Bridge?
No. Something called Mahjong with tiles. Tiles. There were tiles.
No. How about a Ouija board?
No. That's how I was born.
Little Ira crouched behind.
You got a game? What kind of game could you
Little
come
Ira
up with?
Crouched behind the garbage can eating a slice of pizza.
You know, one time I was in the alleyway and there were bars, sort of like monkey bars almost, and there was a drop to the basement of like about a 5-foot drop, and I was hanging down, and my older brother, Barry,
pulled you down?
Worse than that. He goes, let go. Nothing can happen. I let go. Boom. Right on my noggin. 4-foot drop. I walk out of the alleyway. My mom's sitting there with all the other women of the neighborhood over there. And Mrs. Ginsburg says, Sophie, is that your Ira? He looks a little wobbly coming out of the alley over there. I'm in a daze. They take me right to the doctor's office.
Wow.
And they hit my knee with one of those rubber hammers over there. And my arm went out. Boom. I popped the guy right in the nose. He goes, Mrs. Kaufman. He's okay. Your son's okay.
What?
My brother told me to let go of the bars. I mean, who does that?
One of these days, you'll tell us what a doctor's office looked like in 1959.
I remember when they used to make house calls, Lee.
Yeah.
Doctors used to make house calls.
Wow.
Yeah. Dr. Chaitman.
I heard of them, but I never saw one.
Dr. Chaitman.
All right.
What kind of game?
All right. So, Ira, do you have a good handle, a firm handle on every Bucks draft pick of the 2025 season, all six guys? You got the names down and who they are. Otherwise, you can't play.
I think so.
All right. So, Jason Light on this podcast, he was asked to give a one-word description for every draft pick.
I can't believe he did it.
Now,
he did it.
You may have read the story, but most likely you forgot because it was a while ago that I wrote this. So, I'm going to give you the one-word description from Jason Light. You're going to tell me the name.
All right.
Oh.
All right. So, Ira, who was given the adjective freak?
David Walker, linebacker, Central Arkansas.
The edge rusher. All right, very good. Are you impressed, Lee?
Yeah.
That Ira got it?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Now Lee goes.
All right.
I'll goof it up, but okay.
Ball hawk.
Oh, that's got to be Morrison.
Morrison, correct. Reliable.
Egbuka.
Egbuka got reliable.
I'm two for two, Lee.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. Steady.
Parrish.
Jacob Parrish? He says Jacob Parrish.
That was given to Elijah Roberts,
the
defensive lineman out of SMU and the University of Miami.
Is that guy supposed to be a run stuffer? Robert Sewell.
He's supposed to be just a big, good player. We'll see what he really looks like. Yeah.
All right.
Feisty.
That would be Parrish.
Jacob Parrish.
Jacob Parrish. Feisty. And the last one, there's only one guy left that's, quote, fun from Jason Light, Tez Johnson.
Tez Johnson.
Light told
Who's going to win the punt returner job, Blake?
Think so.
And thankfully, he will.
Most likely. Jason Light mentioned that he had his 11-year-old son out to, rookie camp
Light's
or something.
Light's kid is 11 now?
His youngest is 11.
Wow.
He was out to practice with one of his friends. And they asked if they could get an autograph or something. He said, yeah, sure, whatever. And Tez Johnson, that was their favorite player. That's the guy they wanted. So
I'll say this about Tez Johnson. It reminded me of a Bruce Arians quote. Now, the quarterbacks they have, the rookie quarterbacks, they're not exactly precise.
Is Johnson the guy that said, what took you so long when they called him on the phone?
Yeah, and then White said, we didn't have a pick in the sixth round. That was a good comeback.
It was a good comeback.
Anyway, he had one when you were out there, Steve. He had one when I was out there Saturday. He said the quarterbacks are not precise.
You're talking about Parrish now?
Tez Johnson.
Oh, Tez Johnson.
He was going over the middle. Yeah, going over the middle, and then when he gets the hash marks, the seam cut up field. Quarterback throws a pass. Now, he's a little guy. They must have thought they were throwing to Mike Evans. This son of a gun got up there, got the pass, hung on to it.
And got hit?
Well, they can't hit
underwear football.
Still, for a little guy like that, for him to sky like that and pulled in, he did it once Friday. He did it once Saturday. That impressed me. I mean, he played bigger than his size.
Hey, Lee, I didn't ask you this, but on the two Parrish interceptions.
Three?
For the weekend.
Were they legit or were they tip balls or something?
No, they weren't tip balls, but there again, I think one of them was, you could argue, the quarterbacks were so imprecise. That it was.
Or did he diagnose the play?
One, he read it perfectly. He jumped it. The other, I think the pass was so freaking wide that he basically threw straight to Parrish.
Okay.
So, you know, it was like, oh, look what I found.
I'll send you a video of a couple of them, Ira. They're out there. All right, Sage.
I'm going to be out there Monday for Simeon Rice, Steve. I got a few days to think of what questions I'm going to ask Simeon.
My one-word description of two of the players, Egbuka. Smooth.
That's
he
good.
Looks so smooth out there. And Parrish, sticky.
That's a great one.
Sticky.
You mean the opposite of Jamel Dean. Not sticky.
Unsticky. All right, Sage, thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
The off-season rolls on, Stevie, and so do we.
Look at you, Ira, going to the Simeon Rice News Conference. Absolutely. We'll be out there. Busy week ahead next week. And, of course, we thank Bill Curry Ford. They still got that employee pricing, but now they got extra up to $5,000 off on top of that. It's really historic. See all the prices. Everything is transparent. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you got a goodbye to say?
Yeah, I can't wait for this Buck documentary to come out. I can't wait. First, I want to see how much airtime I get because I gave him 5 hours in the freaking
season. It's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while. But Light's already seen the trailer, so... Let us see the trailer. Wet our beak a little bit, Lee. Wet our beak.
Did Chucky do a sit-down for it?
I believe he did.
Oh, he did, yeah.
I believe he
Tom
did.
Tom Brady, though, is unknown.
Yeah, Joel Glazer for 6 hours.
You think Brady is in this thing?
No.
I think he should be.
He should be.
He should be. You think he will be in this documentary?
No. Yes.
Really?
I do.
You think they paid him to do it?
Maybe.
I'm dead serious
maybe.
About that. What, allegedly... You know, the America series that they have for every Super Bowl, and the NFL films really butchered that because they didn't have Brady and they didn't have Arians in it. Allegedly, and remember, Brady was doing his own documentary, so he wasn't going to give up anything for NFL unless they paid him.
Wow.
And they were going to pay him.
They talked to everybody for this documentary. I hear Belichick's girlfriend might be in it.